Hello, this is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 14th of September 2012. The extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle this week have been edited by David and Janet Farthing. And your readers today are Michael Wyard.
Hello.
Peter Lydiard.
Hello.
And me, I'm your presenter, Vara Williams. And we start with What's On. First, concerts. Anthony Burns Cox, who was the organist at Romsey Abbey in the 80s, will be playing there again on September the 21st with a concert of classical and popular music. The performance starts at 7:30 p.m. and tickets cost £5 on the door and include a glass of wine and an opportunity to chat to Mr. Burns Cox. I think he's doing it to raise money for to bring a friend of his over to do more concerts from abroad. Then on Saturday the 22nd of September at 7:30 p.m, the Equinox Bach singers and Baroque soloists will be at St. Paul's Church, St. Paul's Hill, Winchester. They'll be performing music by Bach, Mendelssohn, Monteverdi and Schütz in aid of Jesse's Fund. Tickets cost £15 on the door or from 01962 857 275. That's 01962 857 275. Then theatre. At Salisbury Playhouse, you can enjoy that marvellous comedy Stepping Out until October the 6th. And the box office number for Salisbury Playhouse is 01722 320 333. That's 01722 320 333. And at the Theatre Royal Winchester, from the 25th to the 29th of September, see the excellent Northern Broadsides Company in A Government Inspector, which has been adapted from the original play by Gogol and transported to Northern England with lots of broad humour. And there's another adaptation of something Russian at the Everyman Cinema from today and all next week, Anna Karenina. Most of it apparently shot inside a theatre because they couldn't afford the cost of filming in Russia. The number to ring for tickets for the Everyman is 0871 906 9060. I must try to be regular with my either O's or zeros. And now, the announcement for Lighting Up Time. Lighting Up Time ends on Friday the 14th of September, today, at 6:40 a.m. and begins at 7:22 p.m. On Wednesday the 19th of September, it ends at 6:48 a.m. and begins at 7:10 p.m. I think that's about 20 minutes of daylight lost in a week. And now we come to the main headlines of the paper. They are that Silver Hill scheme could be delayed for a decade, U-turn on police base, and pictures of the Stockbridge fun run. So over to Michael for the first story behind the headline, please.
Silver Hill scheme could be delayed for a decade. Developers warning on anxious wait for CPOs. The regeneration of the lower end of Winchester High Street could be put back a decade if compulsory purchase orders, that's the CPOs, do not go through, the developer warned this week. Martin Perry, Development Director of Henderson Global Investors, was speaking in Winchester last Thursday after meeting joint partners, the City Council, to discuss the scheme. Henderson awaits the results of the public inquiry into the council's attempt to buy all the land needed for the £130 million development of new shops, offices, flats, car park and bus station in the Friarsgate Broadway area. In an exclusive interview, Mr. Perry said, if this, that's the compulsory purchase order, does not go through, I do not know where this leaves Winchester. It'll be another 10 years before it's sorted. He said it was possible that work could start as soon as September next year on relocating St. Clement's Surgery to Upper Brook Street and on the new bus station. Fears raised by leading retailer Jeremy France that Silver Hill could blight the high street above Southgate Street was downplayed by Mr. Perry. He was more optimistic about the future of the city centre. Premises like Game, which closed in March, are now all taken at record rents. We're trying to arrest a little the flow of the money that is disappearing to West Quay in Southampton. It is all about making Winchester more attractive for people to shop. He said the benefit from Silver Hill would boost the whole city centre, although he understood retailers had certain concerns. But he added, the floor space of the shops at Silver Hill is 550,000 square feet. It's not a massive build that will change everything. Henderson points out that its optimistic view is supported by research analysis by Colliers International Town Performance Matrix 2012. Colliers categorised 364 towns into 5 groups: thriving, improving, stable, degenerating and failing. Winchester is categorised as thriving and ranked 6th out of 364. It was in the same category for 2011. Mr. Perry said details of the scheme might be tweaked, but could not now be fundamentally altered without breaking the development agreement that would trigger a costly and complicated European Union-wide undertaking the process. One of the criticisms of Silver Hill is that the design by Allies and Morrison was too samey and dominant, threatening to dwarf the rest of the city. Mr. Parry said there was no chance of dropping Allies and Morrison, but there was some flexibility in the styling, such as the wooden cladding of some of the buildings. He said he would like to look at the idea proposed by Winchester architects Robert Adam and Hugh Thomas to soften the towering effect by setting back the top one or two stories. We are not sitting here with ears closed marching straight on, he said. We are listening to people, and where we can, we are prepared to make alterations, providing we do not get caught in the procurement issue. Mr. Perry also stressed that Henderson was not looking for quick profit and exit, but see Silver Hill as a long-term investment in Winchester, where they already own Next in the High Street. He said he would like to buy the Brook Centre, demolish it and rebuild it with shops facing onto the street instead of the insular shopping centre where the entrances of most of the biggest shops except Beals, Waterstones and Primark are inside. Some schemes, he said, are controversial to begin with and then people grow to like them. The Brooks was hated in 1980, and he's still hated today, he added. Meanwhile, negotiations are continuing with Sainsbury's and its landlords, the Birmingham-based King Edward VI Foundation, over its opposition to the CPO. An announcement by the planning inspector Christine Thorby could come as soon as the end of October, but London and Henley, which owns part of the area, could appeal, causing further delays.
U-turn on police base. A new 9 million police campus could be in full use by 2015 after a U-turn on plans to sell off part of it. Alpha Park in Chandler's Ford was bought 4 years ago as a replacement for Hampshire Constabulary's headquarters in Winchester, a 1960s tower now no longer considered fit for purpose. But last year, parts of the new site were earmarked for a £3 million sell-off as finance bosses looked at ways to save more than £50 million. New members of Hampshire Police Authority, which controls the force's finances, want to return to the original idea and use the whole of the site, but as an operational police campus. It would house departments, including the vehicle workshop, force inquiry centre, and IT team. The estate's development programme includes plans to build four new custody centres, as well as a new headquarters at Winchester's Mottisfont Court, which could be ready for 170 staff by the end of next year.
And the final headline story concerns the second annual Stockbridge Fun Run, which apparently has doubled the money raised from last year's event. 203 people took part in the Stockbridge 10-kilometre race last Sunday, up from 110 last year. Although money is still being counted, it is understood to have raised at least £4,000. The money will be equally divided between Stockbridge Preschool and Friends of St Peter's Church. Andrea Sanchi, one of the organisers of the event, said it went extremely well. Mrs Sanchi of Trafalgar Way Stockbridge said, "We were really pleased with the turnout. We almost doubled the number of people taking part, so that was great to see." The route stretched through the Test Valley Way, starting and finishing in Trafalgar Way. Mrs Sanchi added, "Everyone had a great time, and we had some really lovely weather. The first man to cross the line did so in 37 minutes, while the first woman crossed the line in just over 42 minutes. The event also included a charity 2-kilometre race, and there are a series of photographs here in bright sunshine of people really enjoying their racing.
And that concludes the headlines. Now we have the death notices. Bray. Major General Paul Sheldon Bray, CB, retired, bravely and at peace. Brian, Leslie Brian, at home, aged 91. Cresswell, Julia Cresswell, peacefully. Fowler, Derek Fowler, at home in Romsey, aged 86. Reels, Thomas Reels, aged 80. Salter, Carol Salter, at Queen Alexandra Hospital, Portsmouth, aged 62. Shelswell, Donald Shelswell, suddenly aged 81. And finally, Webb, the Reverend Dr. Rex Webb, formerly of Mitchell-Dever Station, aged 80 in Darwin, Australia. And here is Christian comment. "From my window, as I write these words," says Canon Rowley Ream, "I see a few curling wisps of cloud set in a deep blue sky. The temperature lives up to the billing of a lazy late summer's day, and this comes on top of two previous days of gorgeous weather. Memories of the earlier 14 weeks of summer rain fade a little. The British have always been keen on talking about the weather, but we do it now with a greater awareness of the global context. News comes to us of an unprecedented melt of the Arctic ice cap, with predictions of an acceleration of the summer thaw in future. Scientists suggest that this may affect the jet stream, the very weather system responsible this year for our earlier unseasonal deluge. What happens at the frozen north matters not just to polar bears, but to us. Global warming is a pleasant phrase. It sounds as if we shall have rather more languid September days such as these, but this is not what it means. The global warming, on average, means climate change everywhere, such as we are beginning to notice, and which the government is trying to mitigate through a variety of measures. Warmth is good, of course. When I go for a walk later to enjoy the glory of the day, no one could argue against the human benefits. But we have to be less parochial when thinking about the good of global warming. We have to think of flood and famine, of displaced people, of crops failing, but without lapsing into despair. That is why the biblical prophets are such a tonic. They look ahead and often see disaster, but rarely, if ever, do they preach unmitigated catastrophe. Hope lies beyond the deluge. Hope lies in responding to God's instruction. Things did not turn out exactly as the prophets predicted, but circumstances did change painfully and radically. If history had not proved them right in some respects, their words would certainly have been forgotten. Our Christian duty is, like them, to read the signs of the times and respond to them in the faith that God will honour our efforts to face the tide of change. Our task is not to pretend that the tide stays still, but to accept that it is advancing, and to take responsibility for what we can do together, especially for the poorest and most needy. These are the ones the prophets spoke for whom the warming of the planet is certainly not good news. And now we will have letters to the editor. Michael, could you start with the first letter to the editor?
Yes. Changes in schools' admission policies. And this is a letter from Councillor Roy Perry, who's Hampshire County Council Executive Lead Member for Children's Services. So, allow me to explain that the decision to invest £10 million into additional primary school places in Winchester, including creating a new two-form entry within the Westgate School, clearly required us to look at existing admission arrangements, including catchment areas. I would like to clarify that not all of the 10 primary schools named in your article will see changes to their catchment area. Indeed, it is anticipated that the majority will not. Certainly, St Peter's and St Faith's admission policies will not be changed by the review, as the governing bodies of the voluntary aided and foundation schools decide their own admission policies. Hampshire has traditionally provided priority for siblings, and as a twin myself, I can assure your readers I am very sensitive towards keeping siblings together. I also well understand the pressures on parents getting their children to school in the morning. We have achieved a great success in maintaining high levels of parental preference at well over 90%, and we intend to sustain this despite the increased pressures being expressed nationwide on primary school places. The review of 2014 admission arrangements will include an opportunity for schools and parents to comment. Details of the proposals and an information sharing website will all be published at the end of September. And that letter is from Councillor Roy Perry.
This letter is from the Very Reverend Trevor Beeson, and it's headed Cathedral Appeal. Sir, in your report of the forthcoming Cathedral Appeal, you stated that the previous £7 million appeal helped to stave off bankruptcy. Not so. Cathedral was not at that time in any kind of financial trouble, and the appeal raised £5 million for urgent repairs to the fabric of the building, £1 million for a visitor's centre, and £1 million for the endowment of the Choral Foundation. The people of Hampshire will, I feel sure, be as generous to their cathedral now as they were then. That's from the Very Reverend Trevor Beeson, Great Bid Road, Romsey.
Hampshire can be proud of the achievements of its athletes, says Councillor Keith Chapman, Hampshire County Council Executive Member for Culture and Recreation. Sir, following the amazing success of both the Olympics and Paralympics Games, I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to congratulate all the athletes that took part in the Games, as well as the volunteers and officials that made it such a successful event. Hampshire can be proud of the achievements of its athletes and of its strong support for sport through the joint working of the Sport Hampshire and Isle of Wight Partnership and the District and Borough Councils. The Hampshire Games and the Sports Awards at both county and district levels provide huge encouragement and opportunity for aspiring athletes. Now, as thoughts start to turn to Rio, the County Council is considering ways of building on the success of the Games to ensure the legacy continues. Both Olympics and Paralympics have shown how well we can do when working together as a whole nation, and perhaps now is the time to hope that in 4 years' time, the United Kingdom is still united. It would be sad to think that Scotland might no longer be part of that team, and that the Union flag might no longer be raised at medal ceremonies. From Councillor Chief Keith Chapman, The Castle, Winchester.
This next letter comes from Rosemary Conway, who lives in Westley Close in Winchester, and it's entitled Drawing the Line on Video War Games. Sir, Mandy Coleridge writes in the Chronicle September the 6th, in opposition to Christine Madison's somewhat excessive call for total banning of war video games. Her reaction is understandable, but perhaps some of her arguments rather enforce the opposite case. Firstly, that the military viewpoint of these games is necessary, as growing children may have to serve in a Third World War. The implications in an age of nuclear and biological arms of a WW3 are so horrendous that the only possible strategy is prevention. Secondly, she asserts that modern games and videos are not a lot different from Tom and Jerry. She can't really think cartoons equate with graphic depictions of human beings suffering constant violence in a video technology that has every possibility for realism. In the human psyche, the representation of a thing has an entrenched intimate relation to the thing itself, which is why strong emotional inhibitions and reactions are a vital necessary part of social attitudes. Thirdly, video games keep children long occupied, as did a book before the age of computers. Is not displacement of reading a disturbing trend and argument against them? Or is it fine that they keep the little blighters occupied, never mind if they lack the powers developed through reading and command of the language? Fourthly, it's implied that any censorship is wrong because it's up to the parents to monitor games and explain the difference between reality and unreality. True, but many parents are not competent to supervise and make rational explanations. Indeed, if they really thought violent games and videos not a lot different from Tom and Jerry, this may well be the case. Every society empowers its government to exert some degree of censorship. So, it's just a question of where to draw the line, Mrs. Madison. And Mrs. Madison is too extreme, says Rosemary Conway.
This letter is from Graham Cranmer, and it says, is headed up, Biffa service doesn't come up to scratch. Sir, I thoroughly agree with Robert Larrard, Chronicle, August the 30th, about the poor quality of the Biffa service. In my case, it's the garden bag which gets left. Though at the first collection after Biffa took over, it was the black bin that wasn't collected. Since then, they have failed to empty the garden bag on 5 occasions. 3 times I have phoned the council offices, and a collection was made late or on another day. Unlike Mrs. Larrard, I found the staff helpful, and I was assured my property was on the watch list. An email to my city councillor, Kim Gottlieb, asking him to inquire about the service, has so far gone unanswered. We compost all our kitchen refuse and some of our garden waste, but the rest, including the council bag, has to be taken by car to the amenity site. So much for being environmentally aware. Perhaps if the complainants brought their bags and bins to the Guildhall steps, someone might take notice. That's from Graham Cranmer, Abbotstone, Alresford.
Market is vital ingredient of city, says AJ Willis. Sir, I was disappointed by the comments in a recent letter you published from a disgruntled reader expressing her dismay towards Winchester City's market. The market offers a unique and diverse character to the High Street that so many other high streets are significantly lacking. The well-established shops that stand either side of the market all too often appear in most other towns or city high streets. The big shops that have closed down did so because they won't be missed. A throng of people shopping together is surely something we should embrace, not discourage, in such economic times. The danger to all high streets is losing vital custom to online shopping. Markets safeguard against this, offering variety to tourists and locals. Rather than harass the public, I actually see the market traders as entrepreneurs who talk to their prospective customers and value their business. I believe the High Street acts as a central hub for the community to come together and is not just a place for feeding consumer hunger. I see couples and families enjoying the cafes and restaurants, setting aside shopping for a moment to enjoy the things money can't buy. People can still stand and enjoy the street entertainment which coexists with the market. To relocate it would be a foolish notion that would only take away a vital ingredient that makes the rich culture of Winchester so great. And that's from A.J. Willis, Bramshot Drive, Hook.
The next letter comes from Keith Webb, who lives in Quarry Road. He heads it, "Business rates are just another tax." Sir, news that Biffa, the firm contracted by the City Council to remove trade waste, wants to put up charges is yet another tax on businesses in Winchester. Apparently, Biffa already makes a profit on this service, but now wants to increase the charges to cover the £172,000 they have to pay the council to have the contract. This is outrageous. As a property landlord with over 20 business tenants, I am extremely annoyed that my tenants and the rest of the business community have to face yet another rise in tax for which they get nothing. All businesses pay business rates, but unlike homeowners, still have to pay on top of this for their waste collection. Effectively, business rates are an extra tax for which little benefit is received, and businesses do not even get a vote unless the owners live in the district. The move by Winchester Business Improvement District to set up another collection service is to be welcomed, as it provides competition for Biffa, but the prospect of even more waste lorries rushing about is not so welcome. If the new scheme works well, will it be long before Winchester City Council look to profit and make an additional charge, as they apparently have done with Biffa? Keith Webb.
The next letter is from DJ Cook, and it's headed "Lower Benefit Will Benefit Everyone." Sorry, "Lower Limit Will Benefit Everyone." Sir, I feel that Eric Bridgestock of Independent Road Safety Research, virtually a one-man organisation, has misinterpreted the 20-mile-per-hour zone benefits, Chronicle website. Winchester, as well as many other areas, can benefit from a 20-mile-an-hour limit for several reasons. Impacts to pedestrians, cyclists and other motorists reduce in severity at 20 compared to 30. Simple physics. Less speed imparts less force. This will make children, communities and even shoppers safer. Similarly, less force upon the road will make it last longer. Any encouragement in the conditions for walking and cycling will mean less weight upon the surface, therefore extending the longevity. The environmental factor is also very valid. Okay, some cars do not favour 20 miles an hour, but most under test do, as long as you select the right gear and smoothly accelerate, etc. Less pollution will also result from people being more inclined to switch to alternative transport. Lastly, we should move away from calling collisions on the road accidents. To paraphrase Mr. Bridgestock, they result from a combination of a hazardous condition and a triggering event. So, to avoid triggering said event, we need drivers to comply with speed limits and for greater awareness of what it means to be safe, how to be safe, and how to choose socially responsible transport. That is from DJ Cook, Kathleen Road, Sholing, Southampton.
This letter is from Julie Pither, who's manager of the C&H shop in Winchester. Sir, I'm writing in response to our nomination for our impressive but out-of-season Christmas window, letters September the 6th. I do understand Mr. Naylor's comment. It does seem very early for a Christmas window, but our knitting and crafting customers would beg to differ. We get asked in July when the Christmas fabrics are arriving, due to the time it takes to sew or quilt or knit the garments, usually as presents. The window clearly had 6 tickets, make it for Christmas, and of course not a single gift item. However, look out for our first proper Christmas windows in November. I hope you will not be disappointed. That's Julie Pither, manager of C&H shop, Winchester. And now we go back to the past with whatever happened. We start off 200 years ago in the paper.
Two hairy bits of news from 1812. Bartholomew Fair exhibited on Saturday night a scene of riot and confusion seldom exceeded. The influx of persons was immense, and at 10 o'clock every avenue crammed with an impenetrable mob. Those in the interior of that mob could not be extricated, and those outside were in danger of being crushed to death against the booths. Several females fainted and were trodden underfoot, while others were rescued by the performers in their booths. Second piece. On Friday night, a melancholy occurrence took place near Dublin. A Mr. and Mrs. Campbell were sitting in the greatest harmony in their parlour, when the lady, in a sudden fit of insanity, took down a case of pistols hanging above the fireplace, presented one to her husband, and shot him through the heart. She attempted to put an end to her own existence with the other one, but a servant arrived just in time to rescue his mistress.
100 years ago, that's 1912. The old Guildhall, Winchester, is the heading of an interesting letter from Mr. J. Jones of Southsea, who points out that just now there are changes connected with the lease, etc., of the picturesque pile, popularly styled the Old Guildhall. He suggests the clearance of the space where are shops and rooms over and making it a green market, an art gallery or museum. In connection with the latter idea, there is a desire on the part of the Green Jackets to find in the city a fitting place for many relics. Aviation has claimed 2 more lives. Early on Tuesday, Second Lieutenant Claude Bettington and Second Lieutenant E. Hotchkiss of the Special Reserve Royal Flying Corps were dashed to death in a meadow near Oxford, their machine falling like a stone from some 600 feet. They were on duty in connection with the army manoeuvres and had set out from Salisbury Plain. Lieutenant Hotchkiss was an experienced aviator.
Now 50 years ago, 1962. With the opening of their second floor and lower ground floor, Messrs. Sheriff and Ward have brought into use practically all of their new store, building of which commenced in February 1960 on the site of the old St. Maurice's Church, adjoining their existing shop in Winchester High Street. Now, with the introduction of a number of new sections and greatly improved facilities in others, the store has become a complete department store. And secondly, the refusal of the Eastleigh Borough Council Town Planning Committee to permit the erection of a block of 12 flats and garages on a site at Hilow, Hiltingbury Road, Chandler's Ford, adjacent to a refuse tip, was the subject of a local inquiry ordered by the Minister of Housing and Local Government at Eastleigh Town Hall on Tuesday. The inquiry was into an appeal by Noyce & Sons Limited, the builders, against the decision. Not quite sure why that's so interesting.
From the files, 25 years ago, that's 1987. A Hampshire Riding Club is concerned not only about an increasing number of accidents involving horses, but also about the attitude of some drivers. "They don't seem to think we should be on the road at all," said Derek Shenton, venues and events officer for the Hampshire Rural Riding Club, who says that there have been many accidents recently in the country lanes in the Medstead area, where there are several stables, and in several cases the animals have had been badly injured. Villagers in Northington last week accused Hampshire County Council of ignoring their views in consultations with British Petroleum about plans to drill for oil. They are concerned at the extra heavy traffic generated on narrow roads, which are breaking at the edges already. They are also angry at the lack of consultation with parish councillors and villagers by the county council.
And now we have a chronicle comment from Peter.
This week it's headed, "Don't waste this sporting chance." There's been much talk of legacy after what has been a most glorious summer of sporting achievement by British athletes, topped off by Andy Murray's Grand Slam victory. That's why it's important that the campaign in Winchester to improve sporting facilities for all is given full and proper consideration. Members of Winchester District Athletic Club carried a baton from London's Olympic Park to Winchester to highlight the campaign, also supported last weekend by swimmers from Winchester City Penguin Swimming Club and top local athlete Louise Damon, among others. What Winchester Fit for the Purpose is hoping for is a new community sports and leisure centre. MP Steve Bryan is also behind the drive, calling for a sound, evidence-based lead from the City Council. It would be a wasted opportunity if Winchester failed to make the most of this newfound optimism to make sure tomorrow's sporting stars have the very best facilities available right here. Just one look at the enthusiastic young runners at last weekend's Stockbridge 10-kilometre run is sure evidence enough that we should not waste this sporting chance.
And back to Michael again, please, for First Person.
First Person this week, written by George Hayter, and it's entitled "Captain's Clash on Shared Pitch." A long-running personality clash is aggravating team rivalry at a well-known Eastleigh cricket ground. Keith Howes, skipper of one of the two home sides at the Lee ground, is behind the club's ambitious acquisition of a nearby test match stadium. Keith is the most successful captain in local cricket. He calls his team the Lib Dems. The captain of the opposing side, known as the Tories, is Godfrey Olson, an experienced player, but a more cautious tactician. Due to low scores at elections, the Tories haven't had a turn at batting for more years than most spectators can remember. Godfrey, in particular, finds it frustrating to be fielding for a decade, more than a decade, in fact. The reason that the Lib Dems have been batting for so long is that most spectators seem to prefer it that way. These watchers get a big say. They've reduced Godfrey's side to just four players, while they voted for Keith Lib Dems to have 40. Godfrey's been the Tory skipper since about 1955, and he used to have more players than the Lib Dems. But once young Keith got the Lib Dem captaincy, he seemed to inspire his team and attract spectators. The result was ever higher Lib Dem scores at matches and ever more players on his team as a result. Several seasons ago, Keith planned to leave the local side when he applied for a place in the national team. But he didn't do well at the interview and had to satisfy himself with playing at Eastleigh for the rest of his career. He's 47 now and still enjoys the game. Godfrey, 83, remains loyal to the club and still plays a straight bat, though his strokes are almost entirely defensive these days. Some might think he should try lashing out for the boundary, but with only three players on his side and most of the crowd against him, there's very little he can do except criticise the other side and hope that people will listen. The two skippers don't get on. Godfrey sees cricket as a gentleman's game and thinks Keith's bowling is far too aggressive, even rude. And he's always saying Keith's batting is reckless. Keith thinks Godfrey's a bad loser. There's no sign of them making up over a drink in the pavilion because Keith wants to close down the pavilion and indeed the entire Lee Road ground where the two teams have always played. Keith and his team have decided matches are to be transferred to a tiny pitch opposite the bus station. And now Godfrey's really upset because his old adversary has used the club's money to buy the struggling Aegeus Bowl test match venue alongside the M27 at West End. Godfrey thinks Keith's financially irresponsible because he's always using the club's cash to buy a hotel. Godfrey says owning a hotel is just not cricket.
And now we continue with further items of general news, and I'll kick off. Ditch waste energy plant from plan plea. Campaigners have urged county chiefs to throw out plans for a power station fuelled entirely from waste in the Hampshire countryside. Adrian Bates of Micheldever Action Group spoke at a cabinet meeting of the County Council on Monday, which approved changes to the draft 20-year Hampshire Waste and Minerals Plan. Mr. Bates said the overarching plan for quarrying and waste disposal came down to individual sites, and he made a plea for the railway siding at Micheldever Station to be excluded. In the plan, the site is earmarked as suitable for an aggregates rail depot. His deputation came after Clean Power Properties and Network Rail Infrastructure revealed plans to build a new pyrolysis advanced conversion technology incinerator on the site last April. Residents and Micheldever Parish Council have already voiced opposition to the plant, which would be just 80 metres from the nearest homes and process waste 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mr. Bates told councillors, "It will be very, very close to residents. It will be within sight of and within smell of residents. This is not something anyone would want in their backyard. This is not NIMBYism." Campaigners say the former railway freight yard has never been built on and is now a site of importance for nature conservation. Other concerns include extra heavy traffic and possible air pollution. Developers have attempted to allay concerns by saying there will be no smells or fly ash, while emissions will be closely monitored. As previously reported, under the proposals, up to 210,000 tonnes of domestic and commercial waste per year could be transported to the site, enough to produce 7.6 megawatts of electricity and power 8,000 homes. The Minerals and Waste Plan identifies where quarrying and landfill sites could be developed or extended across Hampshire. Sites for new gravel and sand pits have been earmarked in Hamble, Hythe, Ringwood Forest, Long Parish, near Stockbridge and Christchurch, despite thousands of letters of protests. Local residents and businesses are worried about loss of green space, impact on wildlife, damage to environmentally sensitive areas increased HGV traffic, noise and dust. No new sites have been identified for energy from waste incinerators or recycling plants, but county chiefs say additional facilities are needed to deal with 600,000 tonnes of waste by 2030. The changes were in response to recommendations from a government-appointed planning inspector who held a public inquiry into the soundness of the plan last June. Environment boss, Councillor Mel Kendall, said the aim was to produce 1.6 million tonnes of aggregates per year, considerably less than recommended, and stressed developers would need planning permission before sites could be developed.
The next item is headed Green Light for 20 Mile an Hour Zones, Stanmore, Highcliffe and Winnall among schemes. County chiefs have given the green light to controversial 20 mile an hour limits in Stanmore, Highcliffe and Winnall in Winchester. The new speed limits will be introduced in 10 neighbourhoods across the county as part of a pilot scheme at a cost of £238,000. In Eastleigh, Sherbrooke Road and surrounding streets have been earmarked for the 20 mile an hour trial. Other areas include Whitchurch, Hythe, Wallington in Fareham and Floral Way in Andover. Stanmore was included in the county scheme. In addition, Winchester Town Forum pushed for trials in Highcliffe and Winnall, which will be separately funded by the City Council with £150,000 from the local Sustainable Transport Scheme. This pot of money may also be used to roll out 20 mile an hour limits in other neighbourhoods. The Residential 20 trial was approved by the Environment Chief, Councillor Mel Kendall, on Tuesday. The Tory Deputy Council Leader said, "In the autumn, we will be sending out questionnaires to complete and return to us so that we know the views of local people." Department for Transport guidance states that generally 20 mile an hour speed limits should be self-enforcing. The county plans to send letters and questionnaires to about 10,000 residents in the pilot areas next month to test support for the scheme before advertising the new 20 mile an hour limits. Success will be measured by changes in speed before and after the scheme is introduced. Officers say there will be additional surveys of residents as public perception is important. David Chaff, Secretary of the North Stanmore Residents Association, speaking earlier this month, said, "It's definitely a good idea. I do think it needs to be enforceable, but if it goes down to 20 mile an hour and one or two cases are proven against people breaking that, it would make people think twice." City Council portfolio holder for transport, Victoria Western, has also welcomed the plans. But some organisations and individuals have questioned the effectiveness of the 20 mile an hour limits. Portsmouth introduced a city-wide 20 mile an hour limit in 2007, but an analysis found that it has not cut the number of accidents. Eric Bridgestock, the Independent Road Safety Research, said, "Virtually all accidents, not just road accidents, result from a combination of a hazardous condition, for example, fog, a tired or drunk driver, and a triggering event, such as misjudgment or failure to look. A vehicle exceeding 20 mile an hour is not a hazard, nor is it a triggering event."
Brine tops list of MPs' expenses in Hampshire. It is one league table that Winchester MP Steve Brine may wish he was not top of. He has the highest expense claims of any Hampshire MP, figures released last week reveal. Mr. Brine claimed £142,083, whilst the lowest was New Forest West MP Desmond Swain on £86,894. Mr. Brine said, "I am not a man of independent wealth. I claim what I need to claim to represent Winchester, which is a very busy and very large constituency." Mr. Bryan pointed out that he pays a high rent on his shop in Stockbridge Road, Full Flood, that helps him make himself accessible to the public. I aim to be the most open and accessible MP in Winchester history, and to be a first-class constituent MP like my predecessor. Some people do not have to claim, but I am not a person of personal wealth. Expenses are managed by the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority, which was set up in the wake of the 2009 scandal, which saw MPs castigated for bizarre claims and flipping their second homes to maximise profit. Sir Ian Kennedy, IPSA chairman, said, "Expenses claims now are published every month following the shocking reports in 2009. He said three things were clear from last week's publication of figures. First, the expenses scandal is behind us. Remember what it was like? Report after report of MPs claiming for all sorts of things, flipping homes, no system of scrutiny, and all this behind closed doors. That world is behind us. We have overhauled the system, and the expenses scandal is clear history. Second, MPs are keeping to the rules. 99% of claims are within the new rules. So it isn't just us doing our job. MPs are behaving responsibly and claiming within the rules. And the third thing, we are talking about significant sums of money. We should be clear about this. We are publishing the details of £89 million worth of costs and expenses, about the same, like-for-like sum, as last year. Sir Ian said people had to expect a cost if they wanted a service from MPs, pointing out that the majority of the outlay related to staffing offices. He added, if we want a good service from our MPs, we have to fund them. And if you don't think you get a good service from your MP, the answer is not to withhold funding. It is to use your vote. Meon Valley MP George Hollingsworth claims £118, £195. Eastleigh's Chris Hune claims £104,767. Romsey's Caroline Noakes £108,649. And Southampton's MP John Denham claims £138,077. And Alan Whitehead, Southampton Test, claims £138,894.
Residents celebrate crossing victory. Residents in St Cross are celebrating after winning their campaign for a new pedestrian crossing on a busy road. It may have taken well over a year and it might not be quite ready, but the crossing at St Cross Road and Stanmore Lane was something worth celebrating. Matt Nisbet and his wife Roz hosted a party at their home on St Cross Road to welcome the news. Mr Nisbet said, "We wanted to say thank you to all the people who've made this happen. It wouldn't have happened without people like Steve Bryan or Brian Collin, the city councillor, but we also wanted to say thank you to you, our neighbours. I'm really pleased the council has recognised the importance of this, and I think there's a really nice sense of community in St Cross, and that's why the campaign worked so well." In July last year, the Hampshire Chronicle reported how residents gathered for a meeting at St Faith's Primary School and put their concerns to Hampshire County Council. They said the existing traffic light crossing did not provide enough time for people to cross, and that drivers often jumped the lights. Of particular concern was that the road was used by many children from St Faith's and King's Schools. At the time, the County Council said there was no budget for a new crossing, which was estimated at up to £100,000. Mr Bryan then lent his weight to the campaign, and speaking at the party, he said he was satisfied by the outcome, but felt it should never have taken as long as it did. He said, "Once we got the go-ahead, things moved quickly. But the whole campaign has taken far too long because the junction was obviously very dangerous." Councillor Ian Tate, also at the party, insisted the credit lies with the residents. He said, I remember canvassing Ros last year, and she gave me quite an interesting debate on the doorstep and later fired off an email to me about the dangers of that road. Ros has been quite remarkable in driving all this.
Conman dupes elderly homeowner. A man duped his way into an elderly woman's home, making off with a safe containing valuables. The incident happened at 5 Fields Road, Highfield, at 3:45 p.m. last Thursday. The 74-year-old victim allowed the suspect in, as she thought he had come to carry out pre-arranged repairs. The victim's daughter raised the alarm when she returned home to discover that a safe had been stolen containing valuables. Acting Sergeant Graham Wren from Winchester Police Station said, the victim has been distracted by a man whom she thought was carrying out repairs to the house. This sort of incident is thankfully rare in Winchester, but I would like to remind people to check the identification of people calling at the door, even if you are expecting them. If a caller is genuine, they will understand your concerns. The suspect is described as medium to large build, aged between 40 and 50, and about 6 feet tall. He was wearing a fluorescent jacket and was seen getting into a small white van. Anyone with information should contact APS Wren at Winchester Police Station by phoning 101. Minicom users can use 18001 101. Alternatively, information can be given anonymously to Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
Ex-Twyford Down campaigners to mark the 20th anniversary. A rally is being held in Winchester later this month to mark the 20th anniversary of the campaign against extending the M3 through Twyford Down. Campaign for Better Transport is organising the event on Saturday, September the 29th at St Catherine's Hill to remember the actions by protesters against the M3 construction in 1992. The action led to delays in the project and costly legal action, but the motorway was still built. Chris Gillam of Winchester Friends of the Earth said he would return for the rally, but said he was disappointed with what the original protest had achieved long term. He said, for about 10 years afterwards, we thought it had changed the world. But now we as a country seem to be back building the big road programmes again, and we seem to have learned nothing. You do wonder what we achieved, but I think we left a tremendous legacy when you look at big subsequent protests like at Newbury with the tree dwellers. Twyford Down was the first of these big events. Remarkable thing is, they destroyed the down at the end of 1992, but the protest continued until 1994. The South Downs Society has called on everyone with a love of the countryside to turn up to the rally. The Society Chairman, Robert Cheeseman, said, we owe a good deal to the campaigners 20 years ago who forced government to pause and think about the environmental damage that roads can do. And now, with the creation of the South Downs National Park, it's incumbent on all of us to protect the park from inappropriate development. The rally starts at 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. with a photo call at 2:30 p.m.
Concern over rise in rubella cases. Hampshire parents are being warned of the dangers of not getting their children vaccinated following an outbreak of rubella across the county. Latest figures have revealed that there have been 14 confirmed cases of the potentially dangerous infection in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight between January and July this year, compared to none during the same period in 2011. Although the infection can easily be prevented by youngsters receiving their measles, mumps and rubella, MMR, jabs, if caught it can be dangerous, particularly to pregnant women, causing rubella-associated miscarriages and birth defects. Rubella is a viral infection that is spread in a similar way as a cold and will normally pass within 7 to 10 days. But it becomes serious if a pregnant woman catches the infection during the first 16 weeks of pregnancy, as it can disrupt the development of the baby, causing congenital rubella syndrome, which could include cataracts, deafness, heart abnormalities, and brain damage. It is believed the outbreak has been caused by a dip in the number of children getting vaccinated, forcing health bosses to urge parents into action. Parents are being asked to speak with their health visitors for advice about vaccinations and arrange for their child to get their jabs at their local surgery. Dr. Andrew Mortimore, Director of Public Health for Southampton, said, "The uptake for MMR1 should be even better, but we are most concerned about the MMR2, the preschool booster given after your child is 3. Every child requires 2 doses of the vaccine to protect them from all 3 diseases. When we reach the 95% target, we have herd immunity, where enough of the population is immunised to protect those that aren't. Parents have a really important role to play in this by making sure they get their children vaccinated when sent reminder letters by their GP practice."
The heading for the next item is the best. We'll drink to that. They serve the best beers, the finest food, and guarantee the warmest of welcomes. Now, a Winchester pub and another from Hampshire are celebrating after being recognised as being among the best watering holes in the UK. The Wickham Arms has been named Town Pub of the Year in the Good Pub Guide. The former coaching inn in Kingsgate Street dates from 1755 and has been run by John Howard for almost a year. He said, "Winning the Town Pub of the Year title is an awesome result. We're also through to the final of the Fuller's Pub of the Year award, so things are really going well for us." The Good Pub Guide said, "The Wickham Arms is tucked away with lots to look at, real ales, lovely bedrooms, and highly thought of food." Meanwhile, the Royal Oak at Fritham in the New Forest has been awarded the title of Best Country Pub for the second time by the Good Pub Guide. It's one of the smallest pubs in the county, dating back to the 1600s, and last won the award 4 years ago. Neil McCulloch has run the business with his wife Pauline since 1998.
Fewer caught drink driving. Number arrested falls by 19%. The number of drink drivers in Hampshire has fallen by 19%. Police arrested 560 people during Hampshire Constabulary's summer drink driving campaign, Op Solar, this year, a 19% reduction compared to last year. Of this year's 593 arrests made between June the 1st and September the 3rd, 445, that's 75%, people have been charged with driving under the influence. 1% have been bailed pending further inquiries, and 145, that's 24%, have been released with no further action. Of those arrested, males accounted for 482 and females 111. Chief Inspector Andy Bottomley of Hampshire Constabulary Roads Policing Unit said, "It is encouraging to see a reduction in the number of drink drivers this summer. But while we have arrested fewer people this year, 593 is still too great a number. Sadly, this demonstrates that drink driving is still an issue which many people do not take seriously. For those out there who drink and drive, I have this message. You are an accident waiting to happen. It just takes one wrong move, one delayed reaction, and my officers could be knocking on your family's door to tell you that you're dead. Worse still, my officers could be knocking on another family's door to tell them that their loved one is dead because of you." The youngest person arrested was a 16-year-old boy, and the oldest was a 79-year-old man. The average age of those arrested was 36. August saw the most arrests this year with 201, followed by June with 188 and July with 186. The first 3 days of September saw 18 arrests. Chief Inspector Bottomley added, next to Christmas, we see the greatest number of drink-driving offences in the summer months. And while our summer campaign is now over, we will still be on the roads running drink-drive operations as we always do. And information interesting for everyone. A drink-driving offence remains on your licence for 11 years. Refusing to provide a specimen of breath, blood or urine, you face 6 months in prison, a £5,000 fine and a driving ban. If caused death by drink driving, carries a maximum penalty of 14 years in prison and a minimum 2-year driving ban. Being drunk in charge of a vehicle could result in 3 months imprisonment, a fine of up to £2,500 and a driving ban. And drink drivers can face a 12-month ban, up to £5,000 in fines, a criminal record, and up to 6 years in prison.
Abbots Barton Action Group formed. Angry residents in Abbots Barton have formed an action group in response to controversial housing plans. 60 new homes are being proposed for several sites in Abbots Barton, but residents are concerned about the impact on school places, parking and traffic. A spokesman for the Abbots Barton Community Development Action Group said, "The prospect of even more development is likely to place further stresses on the area beyond the limit of what the community can reasonably be expected to absorb so quickly. The very least the community expects is to have its say on which, if any, of the possible development sites should be used and how those sites might be developed." The Chronicle reported earlier this month how Dyson Drive residents were unhappy at plans for several sites, including a grassy area off Dyson Drive, land off Chandler Road and 3 garage blocks. Announcing the plans in July, City Councillor Ian Tate, portfolio holder for New Homes Delivery, said, "Dyson Drive looks an ideal site and gives us an opportunity to start rolling out affordable housing in the area in meaningful numbers." The proposals are part of a wider council initiative to build 300 new homes over 10 years in Winchester, which faces a shortage of affordable housing.
New ramps and paths set for viaduct. Plans to build a new cycle path along Hockley Viaduct in Winchester have shifted up a gear. The County Council has approved building new ramps and paths to connect different parts of the route at a cost of £254,000. It is going to be integrated into the National Cycle Network. Work to repair the viaduct, which was threatened with demolition in the 1980s, began last month, that is August, and is due to finish in October. The brick and concrete structure is more than 600 metres long and has 33 arches. Some parts of the parapet will be lowered to open up views over the Itchen Valley. The aim is to finish the cycle route by spring 2013. The county says it will provide a bike-friendly route between the city centre and Winchester South Park and Ride site. The City Council has committed £500,000 to the project, and Sustans, the body which manages the National Cycle Network, £200,000.
Woman confronts burglar. A woman was pushed aside by a burglar after she confronted him in a Winchester street. The thief stole a laptop worth £1,000 and £50 in cash from the address on St Swithin Street and was seen walking away from the address last Sunday afternoon when the owner leapt into action. The woman in her 30s challenged him, but he pushed her in the chest as he made off along Southgate Street, and the victim was unhurt. Police are appealing for information following the incident, which happened at approximately 2:40 p.m. Police staff investigator Jerry King said, "I am appealing for anyone who may have seen the man matching the description running in the Southgate Street and St Thomas's Passage areas around the time of the incident to come forward. I'm keen to hear from anyone who may have seen this laptop or been offered it for sale. It is unusual and not available in the UK. I would urge anyone with any information to get in touch as soon as possible. The laptop, a white Apple Mac, was purchased in Spain and had Spanish keys. It was also password protected. The man police want to speak to is described as in his early 30s, mixed race, around 6 foot to 6 foot two tall and of medium to slim build. He had very short brown hair and a freckled or blemished face. The man was wearing a dark grey top and carrying a black rucksack. Anyone with information should contact PSI King of Northwalls Police Station on 101 or call Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Steph ready to take the plunge. An animal lover is braving a daring skydive to help the humble guinea pig. Not content with spending her free time helping the abandoned animals at Wheak and Squeak Guinea Pig Rescue in Bishop's Waltham, volunteer Steph Rayford, 37, has opened up her home to many rescued creatures. So determined to make a difference and help guinea pigs at home and abroad, Steph, pictured, I'll tell you about that later, will be doing a tandem skydive on September the 29th. The money she raises will be split between the Rescue Centre in Bishop's Waltham and the SOS for Serbian Animals, which cares for neglected animals in Serbia. Steph said, "The people behind these charities work tirelessly to keep things running and to ensure the best possible life for the many needy animals that rely on them." And there's a picture of her holding two lovely fluffy guinea pigs. I like guinea pigs.
This next item is headed Advantage Kids, thanks to Tim. Tennis ace Tim Henman swapped the courts for the aisles when he made an appearance at a Chandler's Ford supermarket. The former British number one signed 100 tennis balls and gave them out to customers in Asda. It was part of Robinson's Transform Your Patch campaign, which is helping to regenerate green spaces for sport and recreation across the United Kingdom. Lucky mum, Kim Dillon, was presented with £1,000 worth of sports kit and £2,000 worth of equipment for facilities at her son's school, Swanmore Primary. Tim said, "This summer has been action-packed with sporting events, and it is great to see an initiative that's really helping to improve green spaces."
Paralympics plays out to music at Arbour. Winchester said a relaxed farewell to the Paralympics with a free music event at a city centre park last Sunday. Bandstand Marathon featured several musical acts performing under a gazebo in Oram's Arbour. A couple of hundred people enjoyed the acoustic music and a long-awaited glorious sunshine. The event was organised by the Winchester City Council to coincide with the last day of the London Paralympics. The crowds were encouraged to enjoy the closing ceremony of Paralympics down on Cathedral Green on the large screen, which was being dismantled this week. More than 30,000 people enjoyed watching the Olympic and the Paralympic Games on the two giant screens in Winchester Cathedral Green. Some 26,655 people watched the Olympics over 17 days, with a 4,000 at the opening ceremony and 4,500 at the closing. For the 12 days of the Paralympics that ended on Sunday, the overall figure was 5,750, with 250 at the opening and 550 at the closing.
Council initiative will boost food producers. Winchester's standing as a producer of quality food and drink will be strengthened by a new council initiative. The Winchester District Local Food Producers Network will provide free support to locally based businesses involved in food and drink production. Winchester City Council commissioned Henriette Reinders of the South East Food Group Partnership to establish the network. Councillor Robert Humby, the City Council's portfolio holder for economic development, said, local food and drink producers play an important part in the economy of the Winchester district, particularly in the rural part of our district. During the ongoing economic downturn, when producers are faced with increasing costs and changing consumer habits, it is particularly important for the council to be supporting this sector. The network will be launched on Tuesday, October the 2nd at 4:30 p.m. Award-winning Alsford-based chocolatiers Chocolate Craft will host the event. At the meeting, businesses will also find out about the council's new apprenticeship and micro-business development grants, as well as training opportunities. There will also be a guided tour of Chocolate Craft. To attend, contact Sally Edwards at South East Food Group Partnership on 01489 878 215. That's 01489 878 215.
This is another food-based item. It's headed Diversification, Key to Farmers' Future. Hampshire Fair has teamed up with the Prince's Countryside Fund to continue its work supporting Hampshire farmers with a video showcasing the importance of making the most out of farming practices. The Prince's Countryside Fund, created by the Prince of Wales, was set up in 2010 to help fund rural projects and to raise awareness of struggling farmers. The video, which is narrated by Olympic legend and ambassador for the Prince's Countryside Fund, Sally Gunnell, features a working Hampshire farm and its struggle with the ever-demanding world of mass production. With more than 800 shops in villages closing every year across the country, Hampshire Fair, the county food group, is offering solutions with new ways of making the most out of farming practices. Hampshire farmer John Mills and wife Sarah were given invaluable advice on how to turn plain pork cuts into gourmet charcuterie, a process of curing and salting meats to sell to a wider audience. Mr. Mills, who was involved in the video, said, "Joining forces with Hampshire Fair and the Prince's Countryside Fund has certainly made us think about what we are doing here on the farm. We have already seen great results from the charcuterie and are getting ourselves more involved with other farmers and traders in the area." He added, "The farming industry is a very tight-knit community, but unless farmers get involved with these types of schemes, nothing will get done about the struggle against bigger industries. We should be exploring different avenues. In our field of meat distribution, there is room for growth, as there is in all farming industries."
Small is beautiful for fate. The Oliver's Battery fate proved that sometimes the best things come in small packages. Mayor of Winchester Councillor Frank Pearson, who got proceedings underway, certainly agrees. "This fate has a very nice feel," he said, "because the space is small and intimate. You only have to look at the stalls. There's nothing commercial. It's all home-built. This is a real community fate." The fate was bathed in sunshine last Saturday, and despite being only in its third year, already feels well established. Traditional was very much the tone for the party. There was candy floss, a mini steam train, bric-a-brac and the ubiquitous dog show, with some interesting awards up for grabs. In between the live bands, with people stopping to observe the knobbly knees competition or cheer the dogs with waggiest tails, there was a very distinct soundtrack in the background. John Heath of the British Organ Grinders Association was there, and many a small child stopped entranced by the music. Or was it the toy monkey that captivated them? Organiser Sarah Carner said, "The party was the result of a real team effort and attracted around 400 visitors. Rather than to make lots of money, the aim of this fete was to make a real community event," she said.
Row brewing over tea rooms expansion plan. MP calls for common sense solution over car parking. A Hampshire MP has called for common sense to prevail after a business was blocked from extending its tea room because it cannot provide 6 extra parking spaces. Chesapeake Mill in Wickham was denied planning permission for the upgrade, despite owners saying it is not predicted to bring any extra visitors to the centre. Mearn Valley MP George Hollingbury has backed the business, saying the decision does not make sense, considering the economic climate. The centre, which is in a listed building, hosts a number of small businesses and wanted to apply for a change of use for part of the ground floor so that a tea room could be extended and new disabled toilet facilities could be installed. The manager of Chesapeake Mill, Sandra Taylor, said, after originally receiving no negative feedback at the 11th hour, Highways came back and said they needed to see 6 car parking spaces on site. In this economic downturn, the sad thing is we had 3 people lined up to work for us. The upshot is that 6 parking places are more important than 3 jobs. Mr. Hollingbury described the decision as odd. Winchester City Council, which made the decision, said it was trying to address parking issues in Wickham. Planning boss, Councillor Rob Humby, said, the City Council is committed to supporting the local rural economy, and the Planning Department was supportive of the application, with the major objection being the parking issue. There does need to be a balance between residents' needs and the needs of businesses, but I do acknowledge the applicant's concerns. The Council is trying to find solutions to the parking problems in Wickham to help businesses in general to expand and develop, and we will be consulting on this with the wider community. Chesapeake Mill says it will appeal against the decision.
Inquest opens on man found hanged. An inquest has opened into the death of a man found at a Winchester house. Martin Newbold, 56, a civil servant, was found hanged at home in Chalkridge, Highcliffe. In a statement, police said, at 5:15 p.m. on Friday, August the 31st, police received a report after the body of a man was discovered at an address in Chalk Ridge. The death is not being treated as suspicious and a file has been sent to the coroner. The inquest in Winchester was adjourned by Assistant Deputy Central Hampshire Coroner Sarah Whitby to a date to be fixed.
Thousands of people basked in sunshine and soaring temperatures, making it another bumper year at one of Hampshire's biggest agricultural shows. Up to 25,000 people turned out for the annual Rumsey Show and Horse Show at Broadlands Park. Among the attractions were wood sawing, fairground rides and animals, including water buffalo, alpacas, goats, otters and pigs. All eyes were on the many attractions, which included the Rockwood Dog Agility Display Team, motorbike rider Jason Smythe's stunt show, the Flying Foxes, a display of people riding side saddle, music by the Bournemouth Carnival Band, and a parade of vintage tractors. Nearly 1,000 horses competed in a range of competitions, along with 200 cattle and 100 sheep and goats. Show Secretary Anne Carter said she knew how lucky they'd been with the weather, having seen other events cancelled. She added, it was a fantastic day, the weather was superb and we had lots of people.
Charged with supplying drugs. A Chandler's Ford man has been charged with possession with intent to supply both Class A and Class B drugs, along with a drug that is temporarily banned. Alex Pearson, 20, of Nicol Road, is due to appear before a Southampton magistrate's court on Monday, September the 24th. The drugs involved are cannabis, ecstasy, and a drug subject to a temporary banning order, methoxetamine. The charges follow his arrest in June by officers investigating the death of 19-year-old Doug Ferguson, of Cranford Gardens, Chandler's Ford. Although Pearson was arrested during this investigation, police say the charges are not directly linked to Mr. Ferguson's death. Mr. Ferguson became unwell at an address in Heathfield Road, Chandler's Ford, and the ambulance service called in the police. He died at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester that day. A post-mortem proved inconclusive, and results are awaited to further tests. A 17-year-old male who was also arrested as part of the investigation has since been released without charge. The IPCC was informed as a result of the police contact in the incident. The independent investigation is looking at the circumstances surrounding police involvement with the deceased from the point officers arrived at the address on Wednesday, June the 27th.
New reception to be opened. A new reception area in the children's unit at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital is to be unveiled this Saturday, September the 15th, by Winchester Mayor Councillor Frank Pearson. The entrance at Northbrook Ward has been rebuilt thanks to the Magic Wand Appeal, a charity raising funds to modernise the unit. So far, generous supporters of the appeal have donated nearly £128,000, with activities including a tandem cycle ride from John O'Groats to Land's End and a climb of Mount Kilimanjaro. The opening will be attended by parents, staff and supporters. The event will also mark the launch of Phase 2 of the appeal to increase the children's assessment area and create a new outpatients family area at an estimated cost of £420,000. The Magic Wand Appeal is one of the Mayor's chosen charities this year.
Judicial review for Bushfield site. A campaign to register Bushfield Camp near Winchester as a village green has been hit by a fresh setback. Church commissioners who own the site have applied to the High Court for a judicial review of a town and village green application for Bushfield. Campaigners, Bushfield Down Supporters Club, believed that they had moved forward earlier this year when a preliminary hearing in March cleared the application for the next stage, a two-week public inquiry earlier this summer. But that inquiry was postponed when the church commissioners began considering legal action, and it has now contested the county council and planning inspector's handling of the March hearing. Village green status would give much greater protection to the downland south of Winchester, which was used as an army base until the 1970s. It would also make it harder for the church commissioners to sell all or part of the land to developers, with Bushfield listed as an opportunity site in Winchester's draft 20-year district master plan.
Lib Dems announce police chief choice. The Liberal Democrats have chosen an Eastleigh councillor as their candidate to be the first Hampshire Police Commissioner. David Goodall, 49, says that cutting back paperwork combined with effective use of technology will be the key to overcoming the financial constraints facing the new commissioner. He said, "There are ways of being an effective police force without spending a fortune. I believe the key is getting value for money by ensuring that police officers' time is maximised doing police work and not paperwork." Mr. Goodall said his family background means he understands the challenges faced by police officers, as both his father and brother have served with the force in Hampshire. The Lib Dem is up against Labour candidate Jackie Raymond, high-profile former MP and Cabinet Minister Michael Mates, and independent Simon Hayes.
Bishop's visit to Romsey Abbey. The Bishop of Winchester, the Right Reverend Tim Dakin, made his first official visit to Romsey Abbey since taking up his post in May. Bishop Tim preached last Sunday evening at a special service to mark St. Mary, one of the saints to which the Abbey is dedicated. The service included a procession to the Chapel of St. Mary for special prayers and a blessing. The Vicar of Romsey, the Reverend Tim Sledge, said, "We were delighted to welcome Bishop Tim so soon after he had begun his work in this diocese. We look forward to it being the first of many visits and of building a strong and constructive partnership with the diocese and the bishop, and of playing a full part in the wider life of the diocese.
Brighter outlook for Village Shop. Plans for a community-run shop and post office in South Wanston have been put on hold after a possible buyer came forward at the 11th hour. Current owners Ron and Sue Chamberlain want to retire, but have been unable to sell the Downs Road premises, which had been on the market for several years with a price tag of £550,000. In a bid to save the only shop in the village, they suggested it could be run as a community store. More than 100 villagers attended a public meeting last May to find out more about the proposal, including how to raise cash to buy the premises. Now, a private individual has made an offer for the shop and the attached five-bedroomed house, and the community scheme has been put on ice. Mrs. Chamberlain declined to discuss the details, but said that the interested party was not a national chain and it would remain a village shop.
And that concludes the extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, David and Janet Farthing. Thanks to the copying and dispatch and tape preparation teams. Thanks to our readers, Michael Wyard.
Goodbye.
And Peter Lydiard.
Goodbye.
And please post your memory sticks back as soon as possible in the yellow wallet. And when you put your label inside, please make sure that the cord attached to the memory stick is fully inside the wallet as well. Thank you. And goodbye.